I say to you that there is a Mother Teresa in you. There's some work for you to do. I say to you that there is a Nelson Mandela in you. That kind of commitment, that kind of spirit, that kind of personal power, that kind of vision of allowing yourself to be used by life is in you. That all of us came here to do something, to make a difference. And in a historical context, the world will never be the same again because you came this way. Anytime somebody asks me how I'm doing, I say I'm doing better than good and better than most. And sometimes even better than that. Let me tell you where I got that from. When I was involved in broadcasting, I used to have the first hour of my show as a disc jockey in Columbus, Ohio. I used to give an inspirational program. And there was a lady that used to call me by the name of Audrey Pelmore. Audrey worked at University Hospital. Audrey was an enthusiastic personality that everybody liked her. I mean, she had a radiant smile, and she was just one of those people. You ever meet one of those people that everybody just liked them? She was one of those kind of folks. Audrey became stricken with muscular sclerosis at a very young age. And after a while, she became confined to a wheelchair. She had children. And because of her physical deterioration, she could no longer take care of her children, and she had to be confined to a nursing home. Alum Creek Nursing Home on Nelson Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. Audrey used to have the nurses at the hospital call the radio station and put the phone to her ear. And she would ask for a certain request, and I would ask her to say a few words to the listening audience. One day while I was doing my program, I got a call from one of my regular callers, a young lady by the name of Shirley. Shirley, on this particular day, there was a sound in her voice, and I detected that something was wrong. And she said to me, "It's nice talking to you, Les. I'll be seeing you." And I said, wait, hold a minute, Shirley. There's something wrong. She says, "There's nothing wrong." I said, "There is, Shirley. I know you. Come on, Shirley, what's wrong?" Well, Shirley had been diagnosed as having cancer of the breast. And they told her that she had a 60-40 chance of not surviving. During the time that she had had her medical examination, her husband had become distant. Through the pressure of losing her husband and the illness, she just felt, hey, I'm not the kind of person that can handle suffering, and I'd rather just end it quickly. She was at a critical point in her life, and this is the option that she decided to take. I did everything I could to discourage her, to give her a reason to want to go on living. I was trying to find something that she can hold on to that would give her a sense of hope, some thread. And I used scripture and everything. And one of my fallback positions, "Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." And she didn't budge. That did not work. And I was out of my arsenal of what can I do to hold on to her, to get her to change her mind, to create a shift in her thinking. And the thought came to me. I said, "Shirley, could you wait until tomorrow?" She waited for a long time before she answered. She said, "Why tomorrow?" I said, "Because if you wait until tomorrow, I'd like to take you by to see Audrey Pelmore. You remember Audrey that I talk about all the time on the air?" She said, "Yes, I like her. I would like to meet her." And she met me at the Alum Creek Nursing Home. And when we got there, we were both very silent because I'd made a pact with her that if this was not enough to discourage her from taking her life, then I would honor our agreement and I would just release her. And I was going to talk to somebody else to try and get her. I didn't tell her that. As we walked down the hall, I did not know exactly what to expect. I had not seen Audrey for some time. When we walked in the room, there Audrey was, all twisted, physically deformed. She had no voluntary use of her arms. She couldn't even fan a fly out of her face. She couldn't get up and move around. And we had to get close to her because her vision was blurred and she can't speak very loudly. And her hearing was somewhat impaired. And as we drew closer to her, I said, "Audrey, this is Les. And I have a friend with me named Shirley. How are you doing, Audrey?" And with what strength she had, she said, "Better than good and better than most." And Shirley, I know as the tears begin to form in her eyes, I know she had to be thinking that here this woman is. She's been on her back, a prisoner in her body for 17 years. She can't turn herself. She can't get up and go to the restroom. She said to me, Les, I'd love to be able to get up and walk out of here with you. I'd love to be able to take care of my children, to be a mother to them, to see them graduate from high school. She said, Les, I can't do that. And I'm doing better than good and better than most. Shirley had to be saying within herself, what right do I have to feel sorry for myself? What right do I have to cry out, why me? And she decided and left there with a commitment that she wanted to live with whatever time that she had left, that she had no right to cut the time off. She had no right to do that. And she left there with a new determination, a new spirit about her. And that's something about what we have, that you have. There are sometimes your options are frozen. See, Audrey can't walk out of a hospital. She did not have the capacity to take care of her children, but she had a freedom of spirit. And that's what we have wherever we are, with whatever hand that life has dealt us. We have the freedom of spirit. We can go through life whining and weeping, or we can have the kind of spirit that people will say, hey, there's a blessing to be around that person. The staff at the hospital used to go in her room to be encouraged and inspired by her. Because she didn't feel sorry for herself. And she didn't go through life blaming everybody. I'm reminded of a young guy who was on a bus, a little young fellow, and some kids were picking at him, some bigger guys, and they kept on thumping him on the head and hiding their hands. And so he got tired of them doing that, and he stood up so he would not be around them out of their reach. And they took him and said, sit down. They set him down. And he stood back up. He said, I don't want to sit down. They said, sit down. Didn't we tell you? And they pushed him back down. I don't want to sit down. They said, sit down. And they held him down. And he looked at him. He said, you might hold me down, but I'm standing up inside myself. And what we have got to do is know that there's something about you. There's something about us. There's a power in you that regardless of what happens to you, you can stand up inside of yourself. I think that's what the port meant when he says, out of the night that covers me, black as a pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods there may be for my unconquerable soul. You have an unconquerable soul.